This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing, we talk about hunting, and we talk about the great outdoors. And hunting season is here. The dove season opened on September 1st, along with the early migratory goose season. We have the bow season, the Maryland deer archery season, opened yesterday. And what a day it was. Now, it was a little toasty out there. And not so bad this morning, but it's going to be hot again. We were in the stand last night. We got in the stand about, 3:20, something like that. And we cooked. We really did. We did have some deer activity, though. That was the good thing. I was in the stand with Laura Rigsby, who's one of our directors for the Maryland Hunting Coalition, and a good friend. And I've known Laura since she was 16. She's now 30-something. And Laura is I've been actually helping to mentor Laura in her hunting endeavors for, 5 years, something like that. And Laura is she's a very, very dedicated hunter. She likes to have all the equipment with her. She likes to watch the deer. She likes to, see them coming, see them going, that type of thing. And we shared a tree stand last night. And about 5:30, we had a little button buck fawn come in. And when I say come in, I use that term a lot. We had these deer come in. What that means is, we have a feeding area there, near the stands, and, people in the club and in the organization and, the people that hunt there, they tend to put corn out and cameras to see what's in the area. And they do so and establish these stands over years. This is in Montgomery County. And, this was an established stand that had been hunted for several years by our little group there. And, so when I say come in, I mean these deer come in to feed on the corn. So we had a little button buck fawn come in, still had spots. And he stayed there for, 20 minutes or so, something like that. And turned and went away. And then it went a while. Laura had a little coughing fit. And there's a little trouble with sinus drainage this time of year. Had a little coughing fit, and the woods got quiet for a while. And I guess about 6:30, 6:45, something like that, we saw more deer coming. And the first one was a nice 6-point, which neither one of us were going to take. And he stayed very cautious and very wary. He didn't actually come in to the open area there for probably 20 minutes. However, he was followed up by a spike buck in velvet, and the spike buck came in readily and fed and stayed there for quite a while. Finally, the 6-point joined him, and for the next 45 minutes, we had deer underneath us. Our little button buck fawn came back, and we had a doe, and another fawn looked like another button buck come in, and they fed there and fed around for a while, and all of a sudden, they just vanished, and that was 7:15, something like that. And then we were waiting, for the big boy to come in. And there were deer moving through the woods and that we could see, through the trees and the leaves at maybe 60, 80 yards. Couldn't tell what they were, but that was it. So we had five deer within 25 yards last night, including that nice little 6-point. And, you know, for like for a kid's first buck or something like that, that would have been great. That would have been great. And all these deer presented us with excellent shots, and it was nice to just sit there and say, you know what? You're safe today. So it was all good. Had a good experience. How about you? Are you headed out there to the deer woods today? Did you go out in that heat yesterday? We had fellows that went out yesterday morning, and there's probably affiliates and friends that revolve a lot around this little clubhouse in Montgomery County. And there was a really nice 10-point in velvet that was hanging in the cooler. There was another 8-point, another velvet buck there, a little smaller deer hanging in the cooler. So a couple of people were successful yesterday morning, and then we had fellows out of there last night. 1, 2, 3, 4. 2 fellows from North Carolina. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I guess there were maybe 3 or 4 people in the stands and didn't get a report, didn't hear how they were doing last night by text. So they had moved a little further down into Montgomery, or from Montgomery into Prince George's County. And so we don't know. We don't know what happened with the whole group last night, but we know we had what we call a successful hunt. When you have an encounter and you have deer that you could take and don't, that's a successful hunt. So, how about you? 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Too hot for you to hunt? Are you going out this morning, or are you waiting for cooler weather? You know, some guys only bow hunt during the rut. You know, they set up for the entire year for that 2-week period in November, you know, from basically Halloween through the maybe 3 weeks through the, you know, right before Thanksgiving. Maybe that's what you do and wait for a little cooler weather. Love to hear from you. Has anybody been fishing? How about crabbing? I don't know if anybody's been out there doing any crabbing or not. I see a few people out there, but I'll tell you, the weather was so rough the beginning of the week and Labor Day. There were very few boats out there. I can't believe people actually went out there and over the Labor Day weekend and you know, tried to fish in that stuff. We had a good weekend. We had a very good weekend. We went to a wedding in all that wind and all that heavy bay action right on the shores of the Chesapeake Bay down at the – we were at the Rod and Reel Dock, and the wedding took place on the beach. And it was a little windy, a little unique, but we got no rain. And never quite ever been to a wedding before where the audience and the pastor and the groomsmen were in shorts and sandals on the beach. I thought that was pretty cool, and we had a good time. And then on Sunday, we had a really nice kind of a wild game cook and get together at the home of a buddy of mine who's an avid hunter. Actually, he's in Newfoundland right now for his fourth moose hunt, and that would be one of the owners of the Trick Trucks franchise across the state. So it was a pretty good weekend, pretty good Labor Day. Did wind up on Wednesday at the orthopedic doctor who did the surgery on both of my shoulders. Popped a little thing in the back of my leg. I guess it was a result of some kind of little irritation or maybe a little tear in the meniscus. Wound up with this little thing called a Baker cyst on the back of my knee. Pretty interesting little deal. It's gone down considerably. Actually, it's pretty much disappeared right now, but it's kind of a scary thing to reach behind your knee and feel, you know, this big lump back there and not know what it is and have a soreness in your leg, but it all worked out in a week's time. So, anyway, that's what happens when you get old like me. Been on the air here 28 years coming up in December, and, you know, but enough of me talking. I'd like to hear you do some talking, please. 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. A little business left over from last week. We had a fella call in Bill called in, and he's got an 1865 Remington rifle. Somehow or another, we did not, Bill, we did not wind up getting your phone number. And after the show, we had a call of somebody who was interested in talking to you about that gun. So, Bill, if you could call back and just say, this is Bill with the 1865 rifle, and here's my number, and give your number to Pepe before you go on the air, we'll get that squared up. And then we had a caller named Richard who loves to bass fish. He's looking to go out with an experienced bass fisherman. Richard, we tried to hook you up with Tackle Box Tim, and I don't know if we got your number right, but if you would call back and give your number to Pepe, we'll be able to get you rolling on that. I did forward your number, what I have here as your number, to Tackle Box, and he tried to call, and the number failed. So I'm not sure what happened there. So we need Bill and Richard to both call back and leave your number with Pepe again so we can get you guys connected and taken care of. So coming up next hour, we have Joseph W. Love, Ph.D. He's our title bass manager here from Maryland, and he's going to be talking about bass fishing. Of course, when you're the title bass fisherman, you talk about tidal bass, which is the Potomac and all the tidal rivers leading into the Chesapeake Bay. And we'll hear what Bill has to say. Should be pretty interesting. He's been a good guest in the past. So phone call would be nice, wouldn't it, Pepe? Yeah, it'd be great to have a phone call. But folks at Boone and Crockett Club came out with an essay on fair chase. It's an 8-page essay, so I'm not going to read it all. But it talks, you know, primarily about hunting being conservation. And Boone and Crockett was very supportive of the Maryland Hunting Coalition when the Poaching Restitution Act was passed. And actually, they put out a press release, which will be in our packet of information that we hand out at our hunting summit. And that hunting summit is coming up on September 25th. If you are a leader of an organization or a club here in Maryland and you would like to have input on potential changes to the hunting laws or what is interesting to you, of interest to your organization to maybe change a regulation or change a hunting law, we'd be glad to hear from you and send you an invitation to the summit. We've got a couple to send out today. One in particular got to send to a fellow in Frederick County who's involved in a bow club, and they're interested in coming to the summit. So we've got our body of work together. If you're a social media fan, go on the Maryland Hunting Coalition Facebook page, and we put this extensive book together that we're handing to everybody that comes to the summit, and it's going to be very interesting to see the reaction of those folks and see the body of work that we've accomplished as the Maryland Hunting Coalition. So very proud of that organization. And the last day our dove fields for our dove hunt next Saturday are going to be hunted is today, and then those fields will be given a rest until the coalition gathers next Saturday outside of Kennedyville. And we've had some good increased participation and interest in the dove hunt here, and we're not quite full, but we are certainly moving towards getting full. We do have a couple of spaces available. If any of you would like to come and dove hunt, we're hunting over mowed sunflowers we'll be in the field and having a great time dove hunting as a result of the folks at Upper Bay Gun Club. So it's going to be nice. It's going to be a real nice shoot. We'll have a get-together, and we'll have folks up there to help out. We're going to have a pulled pork barbecue, and we'll tailgate for the lunch, and then we'll all spread out. And at the end of the day, we'll get back together and share stories and see how we did. So that's the scoop. All right, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. I guess we'll tell you first off about Clyde Sport Shop. I was there at Clyde Sport Shop a couple days ago and stopped by to see everybody, and it was very nice. I took a look at a couple of my favorite rifles again, and that new A-Bolt 3, the AB3 Hunter, is available in a number of high-powered calibers in .243 for somebody who wants a lethal deer gun but doesn't like a lot of recoil. That .243 makes a very nice gun. 7mm 08, 308, 270, 30-06, 7mm Remington mag, and 300 Win mag for the big stuff. This is a beautiful walnut stock, blued steel finished gun. Just like the old days, it comes with a Buckmaster, Nikon Buckmaster scope installed by the factory, 4 to 12 power. It's a BDC rifle scope, so you can adjust, you know, you can move the, not move, but you can sight different ranges and use different different hold points in that scope. And this is an outstanding value. It is placed right there in a very reasonable price point for anybody looking for a high-powered rifle. And then, of course, if you want to really step it up, you jump over to that new X-Bolt Hell's Canyon Speed. This is in arid urban camouflage with a DuraTouch finish stock, and it comes with a Cerakote finish barrel. It's kind of a bronze-colored barrel with a fluted sporter barrel with a threaded muzzle brake, a detachable rotary magazine, and short throw bolt. Comes with adjustable trigger. Another bolt action rifle. Select calibers on that, including some pretty cool ones. That's the X-Bolt Hell's Canyon Speed. So there's one end to the other. There's the basic standard rifle that like you and I grew up with, and then there's the Hell's Canyon Speed, which is a really, really nice upgraded firearm. So see both of those and all the Browning firearms at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. Attention, gun owners, hunters, and shooters. Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns? Hafer'sGuns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading? Hafer'sGuns.com. Repairs, parts, custom gunsmithing? Hafer'sGuns.com. Class 3 firearms? Hafer'sGuns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600 square foot showroom. Easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing on the web at Hafer'sGuns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing. 240-347-4906. Above precision, beyond accurate. And while you're at Hafer's Gunsmithing, see a redneck blind on display. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose Redneck Blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blind, and the hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for your bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland Redneck Blinds dealer. Check the Redneck Blind website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
This is Mark Levin. To take back the country, turn on your radio every weeknight at 7. 3 hours of the most important issues of our time only on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
shaking, your heart gets to pumping, your knees get to knocking, and your mind starts racing. It's a feeling like you never felt before. Have you coming back for more? Buck fever, gonna get you, boy. Buck fever, have you praying to the Lord. That rap, that grunt, that snare, that stomp will make you a believer. And buck fever, ha.
All right, let's go to Mike in Finksburg. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
How you doing, Alan?
Good. What's up?
Hey, that spike that you guys seen, was it in Velvet or not?
Yeah, the spike was in Velvet. The 6-point was in Hardhorn.
Oh, good, good. I like the Hardhorn. I don't like that Velvet. Hey, did you ever get a hold of Rob Tech?
I never reached out to Rob. No, I did not.
Okay, I just wondered. Hey, I've been up all night helping our friend.
Yeah.
Moving out her old site and set her up again.
You helped her out? Good.
Yeah, I've been here all night, so she's supposed to call in.
Okay, let's hope she does. That sounds good. Maybe she needs a nap after that.
Oh, she ain't here. She ain't here.
Oh, okay.
She don't look too good, but she, I told her to call in, and she seems to care about you. So she wanted to call in and talk to you.
Good.
Hey, do you hunt with your grandson or not?
He called me last night. We were on our way to the tree stand. He called me last night, and yes, I do hunt with my grandson. We've got our bows all ready to go. We took him to the archer shop and got everything tuned up and tweaked up, and yeah, he's been practicing. So yeah, we're headed out here real soon. So,
is he excited?
Of course he's excited.
I mean, is it in his blood?
Oh my gosh, Mike, you have no idea. This man is a stone cold hunter, I will tell you that. He's taken 5 nice bucks in 5 years, and I've been with him on every one. He's goose hunted, he's dove hunted, he's squirrel hunted. So yeah, his grandfather does his best to keep him busy during the hunting season.
I don't know where he gets that from.
I have no idea.
I got a 13-year-old that He's dying to get his first bow kill.
Yeah, gotcha. Well,
got his first, but he's got a nice bow. I got him a Matthews and set it all up. And, Shane's.
Yep.
He did a good job. I mean, he tripped.
All right. Well, Mike, look, we appreciate that, and I hope your grandson has a lot of luck, and he's got a good place out there to hunt with you. That's for sure.
Yeah, we're gonna hunt Liberty for sure.
Good deal. All right, brother. Appreciate the call.
Yeah.
Yep.
Take it easy.
You got it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
410 WCBM 680. It's that easy. That's what we do. We just take your phone call here, and we have a conversation about fishing, hunting, or the great outdoors. I'm wondering if any of y'all have been out crabbing since this since the nasty weather came in over the weekend at this, what was it, Tropical Storm Hermine, whatever. Yeah, H-E-R-M-I-N-E. I call that Hermine. That's how I pronounce it, but that's me. Anyway, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. And we look forward to talking to you. Got a nice call from a fella yesterday that his county is a little bit restricted on Sunday hunting. And he sought the advice of the coalition on putting together a proposal for Sunday hunting. Excuse me. Sorry for yawning in your ear. Didn't mean it. Didn't mean to. It was a long walk last night. It was a relatively short walk up over the ridge to the stand, but coming back, it was probably a good half mile getting back to the truck. We got dropped off. We parked, and then we got dropped off, and then we hiked it back right at dark. And it was a lot of climbing in those rolling hills out in Montgomery County, but this fella called and he said, you know, we want to get something together here to make a proposal to the county for Sunday hunting, and we chatted a little bit, and you know, didn't really resolve anything at that point, but you know, that's kind of what the coalition does. If you need some help, we'll consult with you. We'll work with you, and that's exactly what happened last year after our summit at a meeting, and met with some folks, and They helped us out, and we helped them out, and the results of that were the Poaching Restitution Act, where the fines have become very strict on mandatory fines. If you're found guilty, for example, poaching a sick a deer or a whitetail buck with an antler score of under 150 inches, your mandatory fine is going to be $2,000 to $5,000 with 80 hours of community service. If you kill a big trophy buck that's 150 Boone and Crockett inches, which is an exceptional whitetail or more, we feel that the value of that deer in the world-class deer hunting we have here in Maryland, has, if you've stolen that from the landscape, you're going to pay the penalty between $5,000 and $10,000 of a mandatory fine after you're found guilty. $5,000 to $10,000 and 80 hours of community service. So don't poach. That's the message right there. So. I wonder what happened to our first caller. Suck a little coffee down there and wait for the next caller. What's the topic? I know it's Larry from Centerville.
How you doing, bud?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm getting ready to grab chase them rockfish this morning.
Are you? Good for you. Are they up in the river?
Yeah, well, after I fish Houston Bay and Chester Rivers, all I fish.
Yep.
I'm a light tackle, shallow water fisherman.
Got it.
Top water and swim baits is all I use.
Yeah. I saw a guy sitting on breaking fish right at the Bay Bridge the other day.
Yeah, there's a lot of breaking fish in Houston Bay, but they're small.
Well, you got to get underneath them, Larry. You got to put a half-ounce bucktail on, a tandem rig, and get underneath those little fish.
I did that. I do that all the time.
And what?
120-incher, and the rest of them were small.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
But my fish are in shallow water. I'm still fishing that 3 to 5 foot of water.
Mm-hmm. Popper? And, using poppers, or what are you using?
I use something I can walk the dog with. I'm kind of impatient. I don't like to pop along. I like to move the bait pretty quick.
I got you. Those big.
That's good. I caught some nice fish last week when that water temperature dropped from last Friday to Monday 5 degrees.
Oh, I bet it did. I bet it did with all that wind. Yeah.
Yeah, they were back up in that shallow water. I caught some 20s and 24s on top water and on swim bait.
Hey, are you seeing any floating fish?
No, I haven't seen any.
See, I've talked to people who have seen a lot of floating fish out in Eastern Bay and some of those areas, and they're blaming it on the hook and line commercial guys that the 18-inch limit is too big.
I think so, too. I don't know what to say about that. I always smash all the barbs down on my hooks,
right?
Just because of that, so I don't kill them.
Yeah, well, the other idea is to use. Well, if you're using a popper bait, it's a little difficult to put a circle hook on there, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you're using like a big Zara or something like that.
Exactly. I don't use a Zara Spook. I found some cheap ones down at Walmart, and I buy them. I bought a dozen.
Yeah.
They're about $3 a piece, and they're about a 6-inch long cigar type bait.
Right.
And it works.
You replace the hooks on them?
Do what?
Do you replace the hooks with better hooks? You sharpen the hooks or what?
Well, I should. These hooks aren't very good. They bend fairly easy. When I just get rid of the bait for $3. It's not worth pulling it.
Well, you know, you could. Yeah, I get that. But a lot of guys would get some split ring pliers and put better hooks on them.
Well, you really need to do that, and I should do that, but I just don't take the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
When I lived on Ten Island, I fished every evening and every Saturday and Sunday.
Wow, nice. Yep.
Yeah. It's been good, though. I don't expect too much this morning because that water temperature is probably back up.
It could be. It was a little toasty out there yesterday, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Tough day to be in the stand. So.
Yeah. All right, bud.
All right, Larry. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Bye.
See you. Bye-bye. That's it. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Love to hear from you. Share your stuff with us. There it is, 3 to 5 feet of water using a topwater lure and getting those rockfish to come up and smash that topwater bait. One of my favorite ways to fish for bass, I'll tell you. I take a Don't get me started. I love to fish for largemouth and smallmouth bass with a small Rapala, number 9 gold Rapala. And if you're on the river fishing for smallmouth, or you know, in one of the reservoirs fishing for largemouth bass, I know it sounds like a small bait, but it's something they'll smash a little quicker than a big bait. Number 9, and you just toss it out there and you let it sit and let all the ripples kind of go away, and that bait's just sitting there in the water doing nothing, and you just twitch it a little bit with a rod tip, and it dives under the water and pops back up. It doesn't go under it, but 2-3 inches, boom, pop it again. You'll see the fish come up and start to look at it, and you pop it one more time, and they'll just blow up on it, man. There's nothing like topwater fishing, that's for sure. So, Larry, I'm jealous. I am. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. And we'll be more than glad to talk to you about any subject you'd like to talk about. I started talking about the Boone and Crockett Club earlier on. They have this essay out. It's 8 pages. You can print it out on fair chase and what it means to conservation and what fair chase means. And it said here's how it starts. Why a discussion on fair chase? All significant human activities are conducted under a set of ethical principles that guide appropriate behavior. Depending on the activity, these principles are molded into laws when specific behavior is required. Without ethics and laws, most activities would become unsafe and unacceptable to both those who participate in them and those who do not. Hunting is no different. It, too, has principles and laws that guide ethical behavior. In modern developed societies, there exists a general expectation that hunting be conducted under appropriate conditions. Animals are taken for legitimate purposes, such as food, to attain wildlife agency management goals, and to mitigate property damage. It is also expected that the hunting is done sustainably and legally, and that hunters conduct themselves ethically by showing respect for the land and animals they hunt. In the broader sense, hunters are guided by a conservation ethic, but the most common term used to describe the actual ethic pursuit of a big game animal is fair chase. And that's exactly the ethic that we should adopt when we're hunting ourselves, and we're hunting with others, and we're trying to pass on our traditions. It's not how you can game the system. It's not how you can gain advantage. It's hunting that animal in a fair chase, ethical way, and that should guide you. That should guide you. You know, years ago, when I was running a sporting goods store, a guy came in and he showed me a picture of a buck. I said, boy, that's a nice one. He said, yeah, I watched that guy all fall. I said, wow. And he goes, yeah, shot him Friday after Thanksgiving. And I looked at the guy and I said, deer season doesn't open till Saturday. He said, yeah, I know, but I didn't think I could get him on Saturday with all those other hunters out there. So why take it? What in that gives you pride that you were able to kill a big animal illegally? I don't get that. I don't get that part of people's mentality, that it's, you know, that you've gamed the system, that you've taken advantage of people that are not being out there in the woods. And he shot this deer with a firearm, not with a bow, which it would have been. I would have had more respect for the guy, but no, he shot the deer with a rifle the day before the season opened. And you see it time and time again. You know, I've seen taxidermists who will say, you know, they'll be putting a nice mount together. Let's say it's a velvet buck. And I'll say, boy, that's a nice one. And the taxidermist will look at me and say, August buck. I said, I'm sorry, what? Because that doesn't enter my mind. I said, what? Say, yeah, they shot it, you know, in late August, and they wanted a velvet buck, and they shot it in late August, put the head in the freezer, and, you know, brought it in here when bow season opened. I said, why would somebody do that just for a velvet buck? He said, well, that's what they do. He said, it's a real mess, though, because we got to fix the horns. We got to inject stuff in the ends of the horns where they haven't grown, and on and on and on. So my question is, Why? Do you think you're getting advantage of the deer? What is it within your psyche that permits you to do this and celebrate this, the death of this animal, when you've taken it out of season or, you know, at night or by any other method than what you're supposed to be using in the season? You know, the quote comes back to me every time I drive through Cecil County. There used to be a gun shop in Cecil County. The lady behind the counter says, "I got to order some 22 Magnums. Bow season's starting soon." And I kind of shook my head. I said, what? She said, "Oh, yeah, that's the most popular ammunition up here in bow season, 22 Magnum. Why? Because a guy can shoot a deer with a 22 and then stick an arrow in the hole? What the hell good is that? You see, I don't celebrate those kind of alleged victories for these guys. I think they're pathetic, quite frankly. And if you're a poacher, I think you're pathetic. And if there's anybody out there that disagrees with me, well, give us a call, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. If there's anybody that agrees with me out there, give us a call, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. We'll talk about it. This endeavor of hunting, I mean, we give ourselves our own bad name. We really do. And we've got to step up. We've got to raise the bar a little bit, and we've got to step up and put a better impression out there into the public. We had a lawsuit settled this week in Montgomery County. Montgomery County wanted to institute a bow hunting program for their deer management in their parks. And they were sued by PETA. They were sued that it was unethical to hunt deer with a bow and arrow in the county parks in Montgomery County. Well, we've been bow hunting deer in county parks in Howard County for 17 years. But Montgomery County got sued. The judge did find in the favor of the county that they could conduct their hunt. But PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, may appeal. And guess what? There are a couple words in the law that they possibly could use to forward their appeal. So we're waiting to get the judgment on that, take a look at it, and see if there's a statutory change that needs to be done help the County of Montgomery prevail and not have to worry about another lawsuit and another costly lawsuit against their hunting program. So we'll see. We'll see. That looks like my buddy Lamont. Okay. Good morning, Lamont. How are you?
Young man, how are you?
Hey, buddy. How you been? Young man, give me a break.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. How you been?
You know what? I've been okay.
Good.
I've been okay.
But
I peer in and listen to you as much as I can. I'm heading to the woods today for the first time in a long, long time. I've been working so much.
Yeah.
But I guess a little bit of a dilemma and a question.
Okay.
I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was telling me about the permission slips. And so we had a little question. And so I called the DNR and asked the guys, you know, well, when I'm hunting, is it okay for me to have my permission slip to say Lamont and Guest? The one guy said no. He said that every individual person that hunts has to have a permission slip from the landowner, and it has to have all of their information, you know, everybody that whatever. I said, that doesn't make sense to me. He said, well, that's the way it is.
Yeah, that is
so
the way it is.
Another guy, and he said that the Vermont and Guest would cover the people with me. What do you know about that?
Technically, I think the first guy was right. But that's a separate agreement with the landowner. And, you know, if you're permitted to have a guest, I would say that that permission slip is valid if it's signed by the landowner that says, you know, Lamont and Guest.
Yeah, because...
You know, it depends. This is, I think this is one of those discretionary things that's in the hands of the Natural Resource Police officer.
Yeah,
yeah. If he wanted to give you a hard time, he could probably give you a hard time and win.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, but to get two totally opposite answers the same question from two DNR guys is a little disturbing.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, quite frankly, because, I mean, you know, you've got people that with various degrees of training within the NRP. Years ago they rolled all the park rangers into the Natural Resources Police under that umbrella, and not all those folks are necessarily familiar with the game laws. And it's incumbent on us. It's incumbent on us to know what the law is. And I'm faced with the same situation in certain places where I hunt. I really am.
Yeah.
You know, I'm allowed to have a guest, and that guest can be anybody of my choosing. And, it's very interesting. You know, if you're on a basically what they call, you know, what I would call a closed lease where nobody's going to bother you, nobody's going to check on you, the landowner's going to question anybody on their property like the NRP, what are you guys doing here, that type of thing.
Right.
And unless somebody drops a dime on you, and I'm not advocating breaking the law by any means. But
yeah, I understand that.
But what I'm saying is, I don't know if that's a discretionary thing to the officers or not, but that's a good thing. That's a good thing to bring up at a place like our hunting summit. You know, if you can reach out to somebody in your bow club to come to the summit, or bring it up and we'll talk about it. We'll see what happens.
Okay. When is the summit?
Summit is September 25th, and it's in Annapolis.
Okay. That's cool then.
If you drop me an email and say I'm an officer in such and such a bow club, I'd like to come to your summit, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, or call me on my cell. I'll get an invitation in the mail to you or to whoever you designate. And, we just can't quite open it up to individuals at this point.
I got you.
You know, maybe sometime we'll have a public meeting, but this is a summit of the leaders of, you know, we had 24 people there last year from 17 different organizations.
Okay.
You know, and that we discussed, we did a 5-minute deal for everybody, went around the table. What's your concern? What's your concern in Western Maryland? What's your concern in Carroll County? What's your concern in Baltimore County? What's your concern as a bow hunting society? You know, that type of thing. And out of that came the Poaching Restitution Act. So, you with me, Lamont?
Yeah.
Okay, I hear myself in the background. So.
No. I'm with you. I'm just gobbling this stuff up. But listen, I mean, all that's good, and I'll get on the website and I'll get that information and all. And I'll tell you what, man, it's really cool kind of talking to you. I was hearing this guy talking about rockfish, man. I haven't been fishing in so long. My dad would really be upset with me, but I've been working so much.
Yeah.
Is
your dad still around, Lamont?
No, we lost dad 5 years ago.
Yeah, I thought I heard that. What a guy he was, man. I'd run into him down at Clyde's. He always made me laugh, you know?
Yeah. I tell you what, he's a great man, and I'm glad to be his son, you know?
Of course.
Well, young fella, take care. And,
man, that's the first compliment I've had today, young fella. All right, Lamont.
Okay, I'll talk.
Good hearing from you. ellis@ellisoutdoors.com is my email.
All right.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
All right.
See you, Lamont. Bye-bye. 410 WCBM 680. We probably ought to take a break, don't you think? Yeah. There's nothing on my screen, but we'll take a break. All right. Hey, look, my buddy up at Stauffer's Auction Company, that's Denny Stauffer, he's got an annual sportsman's auction coming up on Saturday, October 8th. It starts at 10 a.m. That's on Leadersburg Pike outside of Hagerstown, 21 140 Leadersburg Pike in Hagerstown, Maryland. And he asked me to ask you if anybody out there has a consignment that they'd like to sell at his auction. Firearms, ammunition, hunting supplies, bows, fishing gear, clothing, anything you'd like. Turn your extra items into cash. Cash. That's right. Give Denny a call at 301-791-6896 or email Denny@StauffersAuctionCo.com and talk with my buddy Denny. Denny@StauffersAuctionCo.com. You can bring a friend to the auction if you like and see how much they get for your stuff. www.StauffersAuctionCo.com. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose Redneck blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blind, and the hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for your bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland Redneck blinds dealer. Check the Redneck blind website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500. You can see a Redneck blind on display at Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown. Gun owners, hunters, and shooters, Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom, easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing, on the web at hafersguns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing, 240-347-4906, above precision, beyond accurate. Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, this is Sean Hannity. Guess what? Now there's finally a place to find the truth. Every weekday afternoon from 3 to 6, right here on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we only got a couple minutes left. Time for maybe one more phone call at 410 WCBM 680. Maybe not. But we'll try to get you in here. If you have a quick question, we'll give you a quick answer. Might not be the right one, but it we'll give you an answer. I can always answer the question. You know, I can always say, hey, I don't know. So we'll see. But listen, I think if you have to leave us this hour, and maybe you are going out bow hunting today, or, you know, maybe you're going after some of those resident Canada geese, or maybe you're going for doves, just be safe out there. That's the main thing, you know, especially when you're shooting a firearm with other people. You know, you're in the goose blind, or you're dove hunting. Sometimes you take a shot at a dove and you don't realize you're shooting towards towards your other people in the field, and you spray them with some pellets. Been there, done that. It's not necessarily fun, but it's also annoying. So, you know, you just watch your field of fire, and always never shoot at a low bird. You know, I mean, unless you're absolutely sure that there's nobody out there, just always keep that gun pointed up at a 45-degree angle, and there'll be another one come by. Don't worry. And the same way in the goose pit, you know, if there's three or four of you, everybody has their zone. You know, you don't shoot past this angle. You don't shoot past that angle. And who's ever running the hunt needs to establish that right up front. And if somebody violates it, or somebody puts their gun over somebody's head and shoots and rings their ears, then that person needs to be told. That's as simple as that. You don't tolerate bad behavior. You can use it as a teachable moment. You can, you know, you can lose your temper. You can do whatever you want to do. But, you know, I would sooner yell at somebody and have them leave the blind and be pissed off at me than have somebody else shot. That's just me. So that's the way it is. So be careful out there. You bow hunters, do your best to make a clean, ethical shot. Do your best to make sure that your emotion doesn't overcome you. Take everything that you've learned, put it into practice. Make sure you know where you're aiming on that deer, and hope that you get a lethal shot and a speedy recovery. That's what it's all about. You owe it to the animal, actually. You owe it to the animal. So that presented itself for you to take that shot. So don't screw it up. Here we are, coming up on the 6 o'clock hour. Dr. Joe Love will be our guest at when we start the next hour. He's the title bass guy for the Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the changing face of bass fishing in Maryland. Now get out, stay safe.